You're gonna be taking fingers out of your fat asses all night long because you got fat asses. Knowing what chance you have, you have no chance. If you had a chance, you'd need to run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the fat asses. Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the gym's line. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good lucha.
I hate God.
Hit the duck. Yes. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, woo, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
That's a copyright free. I hope they don't get us for stealing Karrion Kross's entrance. I'm sorry. Anyway, what is going on, everybody? It's Friday night. It is the second episode of the Dirt Sheet Dudes. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Much appreciated. I am Boxman, and of course, across from me is the smarkiest of all the smarks. He's sexy, he's sultry, he's Smark Wahlberg. What is up, Smark?
That is right. How are you today, good sir?
I don't know. I'm just kind of worried I just called you sexy and sultry. But anyway.
Indeed. I mean, that's true. But, you know.
I know it is. But anyway, just a little worried I did that. But things happen. Welcome to the We've Been Drinking show.
There's going to be big Olive Garden energy tonight.
Yeah. I was counting on Smark. Smark was counting on me. And
that was great because, like, I will pull back the curtain a little bit. Like, when we got on, you were like, I'm counting on you because I had been drinking tonight. And I was like, yeah, me too. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we know that it's going to be wild. So thank you for joining us.
Well, I'm used to this. At this point, it's second nature to me. I should be okay. I'm not worried about it too much. I mean, listen, we got a few things to talk about. We got some news to talk about. We got some SmackDown, that stuff to talk about. So we got stuff to get into. We should be okay. I'm hoping.
We'll see.
Well, listen, I've got record pressed, so that's immediately one good thing. You know, so we know that's good. I keep looking at it. Record is pressed. Record is pressed. It's done. Red. We're good. And we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll get through this. We've got a bunch of stuff to get into tonight, like I said. And SmackDown happened tonight. So, of course, we're going to jump into a little bit of SmackDown a little bit later. But, of course, we are getting back to our usual little format here. We're going to jump into news first. Always the better thing to do. So, before that, though, of course, we've got to jump on into the plugs. What do you say, Smark? You think we're okay to do that? I think you're okay? Think we can do that? All right, let me stop the music over here. And all right, let's go ahead. I think we can get plugs done. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. I've got some music playing here. All right. Hey, while you guys are out there checking out podcasts, check out the High Marks. That's right. I want you guys to check out Cheese Man, Mojo, and G-Wiz over there. Where do I want you to check them out? Mixler.com/Metal Mitt Network. That's right. I didn't stutter. I'm not that drunk. Definitely add 2 T's. Mixler.com/Metal Mitt. 2 T's in Mitt Network. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday nights. Check them out. That is Eastern Time, of course. And, of course, you guys want to check out Bobby Blades and Bobby Anthem. They are the Inhumans. They're on the Inhuman Experience. So go ahead over there and check them out on all the usual podcast platforms. Anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, you're going to find them. Go ahead and subscribe to them over there. And you've got the Everything Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. You know where to find them, too. They're on Blog Talk Radio. They're on all the usual podcast platforms. Check out Eric, Doug, and Daniel. They're over there having a great time. Go have a great time with them. And you've got Stephen Milan over there sharing the show, and we appreciate it. Check him out over there reviewing films. Letterboxd, boxd.com/Stephen. Milan, there's two L's when you type Milan. Do not forget that second L. And you know where to find us, Spreaker. You can definitely get us over there. You can go to YouTube. We're going to be doing more over there coming up in August. And check us out over there. And Anchor, TuneIn, Player FM, anywhere else you find good podcasts. Smark, roll it out.
You've got it. Mondays, 8:30 on the Metal Mitt Podcast Network on the Mixler Machine. Be sure to check out Cheese on Sports with the Cheese Man. Sundays, 10:30 a.m. on the Metal Mitt Podcast Network, also on the Mixler Machine. Be sure to check out the Mo Dirk City Machine Guns with Mojo, with Dirk. And last but never least, be sure to check out our friends at Planet Raconteur. It's the Planet Raconteur podcast with Bobby Anthem, Papa Dave Sincere, and Yuck Nasty. Season 1 is available for you, and Season 2 is rolling out, so be sure to check them out wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and there we go. Plugs are done. That means we can get into wrestling. D-Large, thanks for stopping on by. Been a little while since I've seen you, man. Nice to, definitely nice to have y'all stopping on by one more time. And yeah. There you go.
Nice to get D-Large in the chat. I like him.
Yeah, he stops by. Stops by a lot. Always appreciate his contribution to the show.
And this is where, I mean, we're thanking people that are in the chat anyways. Shout out to Sasha Baron Corbin, as always, for joining us. I always appreciate him.
Yeah.
See what he's up to.
I mean, I'm not quite sure where his head is at with the whole Baron Corbin thing, but we love him anyway.
Poor guy's been through some trying times. It's not easy being a Baron Corbin fan.
No, not right now. Not right now. It's not at all. He's going through some trying, yeah, like you said, trying times. But I have a feeling Baron Corbin has got to pull out of this a giant baby face, which I still will not acknowledge as great. But anyway, I have a feeling he's going to pull out of this a big baby face. So have no fear. Baron Corbin is here. Something like that. I don't know.
Oh, he's going to be with that company for, like, life. He is a lifer for them, for sure.
Yeah, I just noticed my dog is in here with me. And looking to get out.
We've talked about this before, but what kind of dog is he?
Half Boston Terrier, half Pug.
Nice, nice.
He's got the colors of a Boston Terrier. He's got the tail and teeth of a Pug. Most definitely the teeth of a Pug. He only has 10 teeth left, so he eats soft food only. And he's a great boy. He gets my kids, nice. He gets my boys to sleep every night, and my daughter. So, oh, and there he goes, coughing a little bit. I'm going to text my wife to see if she can let my dog out because he does want to get out of this room. He's like, oh, my God, he's talking too much. So
I've realized that I'm kind of a psychopath because, like, I've seen your children before, like, give you hugs and tell you that they love you and all that. And, like, that's cute, too. I'm not trying to shit on that, but, like, I had the most visceral reaction to just you responding to your dog. I was like, oh, I'll give him a pet for me. Like, I love him.
He's a good boy. Actually, you know what? It's funny. I'm a dog person. I really am. I'm not a big cat person, but yesterday I went to an account real early in the morning, and I've been driving the truck because to be 100% honest, our driver, even though vaccinated, got COVID. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to go any further with that. But he did get COVID, and I've been driving. I went to an account yesterday, real early in the morning, to drop off some crates, wood crates. And suddenly, out of this, like, I'm talking to the guy because he's refusing the crates. Let's not get into that either. And suddenly, I see a cat, a kitten, a little baby kitten pop its head out from under the guy's car. And I'm like, do you know you've got kittens under your car? And he's like, yeah, someone dropped them off last night. I am not a cat person, but I was like this far away, like a minuscule away from taking those cats with me. If I had somewhere to put them in the truck, I would have taken those cats with me, dude. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. I'm an animal person. I like animals.
Right. Same.
They taste good. They're fun to have around the house. Same thing, you know.
Right. Now, I feel you on that one.
Yeah.
I enjoy some animal meat as well.
Yeah, I had some chicken tonight. Had some chicken. Wife did a nice little recipe. It was delicious. Delicious. So, all right. I guess on that note, we should start talking about wrestling.
Perhaps, if you feel so inclined.
Weeb's coming in. He weebles, he wobbles, but he never falls down. Big bad Weeb's in the chat room. What's going on, brother?
You know, I was thinking about that. Like, I've known him, and I've known you, I think, too, since I'm, like, 17. So, like, you've known me, and he's known me since I was a very, very young child, almost.
Does that mean I've groomed you or something? What are you trying to imply here, man? I'm confused.
I'm not trying to imply anything sinister. Okay. I'm just saying, like, I got a kick out of that because I was telling you before, and I mentioned this on the air before, like, about a month now ago, Bobby Anthem was in the high marks, and he was like, you know, I've been listening to, you know, X amount of podcasts. I've been listening to, like, Box since I was, you know, like, 10 years ago, since I was, like, younger than, you know, what I am now. And he's like, and I know it's Mark since he was, and, like, he thought about, like, what he wanted to use for an adjective for me. And he's like, I've known it's Mark since he was a kid. Like, I didn't see him mature because he hasn't, but, like, I've known him for a long time.
Oh, he was an impressionable youth when I knew him, and I corrupted his body.
He was a young asshole back in the day, and, like, now that I've gotten to know him, he's still kind of the same. He's
just a little bit of an older asshole.
He's an old asshole with back problems now.
Future back problems go for everybody. Wrestling Smart. Wrestling. Let's get into wrestling a little bit. Like I said, we've got a few things to get into here. We've got a few videos to play for you guys tonight, some audio. But I guess what we're going to start with real quick is, once again, I'm going to jump into the ratings for AEW Dynamite. I figure that's a good place to start since we're here. AEW. Once again, did a great rating coming back on their regular night. 1.148. That's a damn good number for them. Third highest in the history of the show. So, and they did a great demo 18 to 49. But yeah. Once again, man, they're just for a company that is so young, I guess you could say, Smark.
Yeah.
They're just out there. You know, I mean, the ratings are just a part of it, but they're getting buzz. They're getting more talent. Jesus. They're bringing in just all kinds. A little early for the old hiccups, huh?
They had, they were the number one, like you were saying, they were the number one show on cable. They beat, like, all the news channels, too. They beat Don Lemon Tonight. It was the second time, I believe, Dave Meltzer said that they had finished number one on cable, just period, regardless of shows. So that's pretty impressive.
Well, is beating Don Lemon really something to brag about?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I don't care for his politics. I don't care about politics in general. Like, I try to be libertarian as fuck nowadays. But, now we're living in the COVID era. We're living in, uncertain times. So any type of news show, beating wrestling, I mean, wrestling beating any type of news show is, like, impressive to me.
To be honest, dude, if you look at the latest polls in what people think of the news right now, they are at their lowest in credibility.
Nielsen is the OG of ratings. I'm assuming he means Leslie Nielsen.
I'm and when I say news, I'm not talking about all the news shows. They're not just talking about Fox or CNN or NBC or MSNBC. All the news shows is what that poll is.
I'd be okay with that if we, like, as a society moved on from fucking being overly political and overly news challenged as we are.
We should always be questioning what the news tells us, because let's face it, to stay on the television, what do you need, Smark? You and I both know this. Wrestling knows this. What do you need to stay on television?
You need ratings. You need something that's going to grab a headline, sensationalism, things like that, yeah.
Look at that, drinking or not, he knows the answer. Ratings are what every television show is about, so that is all the news is pushing. That's it. Ratings. Whatever sells. If it's fear, it's going to sell. COVID. Oh, my God, the new Delta variant. Yes, that's right. We're using the Greek fucking letters now because we don't want to offend anybody with the, Indian variant or the Italian variant or the whatever variant. But, yeah, it's just it's hype. It's all hype. It's all fear. And, look, one of the CEOs for CNN was caught on video saying, "We sell fear. That's what we do."
Well, yeah, that is definitely the problem, because, like, just by the by, like, as an average day, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, like, whatever the news outlet is that you watch, they sell fear to people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how you get people to watch things. That's how you get people to be interested. But then you have, like, a situation where you should be afraid. You should be scared. You should be paying attention, with the COVID and all the variations of the COVID. And, like, they're trying to figure out how you be responsible with your news coverage and with your news reporting. But, like, you've spent so much time selling fear to people that it's hard, for you to build a reputable connection with your viewership.
Absolutely. And eventually, I mean, your credibility just goes down the toilet one way or the other. But
I want to say this real quick, because since we're on this subject, I don't know how we got on this subject.
I don't know either.
Like, I wish that we would stop over-publicizing, like, being afraid or, like, not getting your shot. Because, like, that seems to be the thing. That seems to be the more often than not that I'm seeing, that, like, if you don't get a shot or if you don't want to get vaccinated, that you're Republican, that you hate science or news or logic or whatever the fuck. Like, I get mine. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to be super over-publicized about that, but I've gotten my vaccination. I've gotten both of my shots. But, okay. Like, I was scared, too. Like, even if you're, you know, like they were saying that there's a billion to one odds that you're going to get, you know, die or you're going to get sick or whatever the fuck. But, like, even if you're, you know, if that happens to you, it doesn't matter how many other people that happened to. Like, if you die, you die. You know, the fact that it didn't happen to a lot of other people doesn't mean the fact that, like, you don't want to die. You know what I mean? So, like, it just, it happens too often. Like, there's too much of, like, oh, you know, you didn't want to get shot, you didn't want to get vaccinated, you're Republican or you're against science or whatever. Like, it's normal for people to be scared.
You know, that one Wednesday a couple weeks ago when you you were out with one of your, I think you had a buddy come in or something like that, and you went out with him. But that Wednesday when I was by myself, we actually had a little vaccination talk. I kind of got on a little rant.
I saw that in the chat. Yeah, I saw the chat log.
And the chat was basically saying the same thing. It's all about personal choice. You should be able to choose if you want it or not. Risk. Flu shots are the same way. I don't get a flu shot. I don't. Personally, I don't get a flu shot. My kids do. I don't have a problem with that. My wife does. I got no issues with that. I personally don't get a flu shot. I just, number one, I don't have time, usually. Number two, anything with the word shot, I know it's not always a needle, but I'm never voluntarily going to get a needle in my body. Ever. Ever. I'm afraid of them. I'm scared to death. I don't like getting blood taken. I don't like fucking needles. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. I just don't like it. If I have to get it, I will. If I have to get blood taken, I will. But it's choice, man. It's just a choice. And overwhelmingly, our chat was definitely in agreement. And I got to say, I was a bit shocked. And we had one person in the chat who had barely any symptoms. And we had Sean in the chat who was like, oh, my God, I fucking almost died from the goddamn vaccine.
Right.
So,
I had gotten my shot. And, like, the first time my arm hurt, and then the second time my arm hurt, I was tired. So, right. Like, I didn't really get a lot of, you know, complications because of the shot. But, I mean, it's understandable. Like, it's scary. It really is. It's scary to get the shot. It's scary to get the symptoms of not getting the shot. Like, I don't think this should be a publicized thing. I don't think this should be, like, you know, Republican versus Democrat. Like, people are scared. Like, it's a scary thing whether or not you get your shot, you know, regardless.
Right. And, you know, I hate to go back to this, but, I mean, back during the vice presidential debate when Kamala Harris said, I won't get the shot if the vaccine comes out under Donald Trump. Well, she was one of the first ones to get the fucking vaccine. And guess who it came out under? Whether you want to believe it or not, it did come out under Trump. It turned political right there. Right there, that whole thing turned political. And they've kept it going. The vaccine shouldn't be political. It should be whether or not you want to get it. And if you want to get it, great. If you don't want to get it, great. You've got your reasons. But the people that are like, you know, oh, if you don't get the vaccine, we need to make it hard on your life. Oh, do you? What is this, fucking Nazi Germany?
Right. Yeah, and I don't like that shit. Whereas, like, if you don't, it is everybody's prerogative at the end of the day, whether or not you decide to get it. But the idea that, like, you hate science or that, like, you're unintelligent or you're Republican or you're Democrat, like, whatever the fuck. Like, if you decide that you don't want to get it, that is your prerogative. Right. And like Sam saying in the chat here, the computer chip thing doesn't help at all. You know, that kind of thing. Like, it just, like, if you decide that you don't want to get it, that is your prerogative. If you're in a medical condition where, like, you can't do it, that is also another prerogative for you. Like, I just hate this idea that, like, you know, if you decide that you want to get it, that's you. Like, I decided that I didn't want to, you know, I decided that I wanted to get shot. But, like, I'm not at all sitting here in judgment of anybody who doesn't get the shot because they're afraid or they, you know, don't have the information that validates them getting the shot or they have an autoimmune deficiency or whatever the fuck it is that decides that they don't want to get the shot. Like, everybody needs to be... Like, if you want to do that with your body, if you decide that's what you want to do, that is your prerogative. Like, don't force your opinions or your belief on other people, period.
Right. And, you know, let's face it. If this thing is putting 5G in you and your phone works better, who's going to bitch about that?
Well, yeah, I'm hoping for that.
I mean, I would love for my... Jesus Christ, I'd love for my phone to work better out here in this in the fucking country. But anyway, yeah. I see the ear and over there. I mean, if I'm a hotspot, I'm good with that. That's all I'm saying. But it really is. I mean, look, you want to get it, like I said that night, you want to get it? Sweet. You don't want to get it? Sweet. You got your fucking opinions. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Look, if I have to, I will. Right now, I don't. And no matter what anyone says, this was not FDA approved. It was emergency approved to get put out. It is still experimental, no matter what you want to think. So if I'm a little nervous about getting it, no, I don't think there's fucking 5G in it. No, I don't think I'm going to get a fucking barcode in me. And you know what? If I did, let me tell you something. If you don't think when you're talking about something and suddenly it shows up on your Facebook, that's a little fucking coincidental. They're listening no matter what. I don't give a shit at this point what they put in my fucking body. They can hear me through my goddamn smartphone. Right. Fuck it. I don't care anymore. I don't believe in all that. Don't think I'm some fucking, you know, crazy conspiracy theorist. I just, right now, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait. If I mean, look, I get sick. Hopefully I'll be all right. I should drink enough vodka to kill that shit is all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You know, I really should. I really should drink enough vodka to kill that shit. But, and Sam says I'm spitting facts. There you go. One more for you right there. I don't know, man. The fact that this whole vaccine became political, I really think it started with Kamala Harris when she said that, when she said, I will not take it if it comes out under Donald Trump. What the fuck does that mean? Did Trump sit there and create the vaccine in a fucking lab? Did he? No. We believe in science. Well, if scientists created it and it came out under Trump, and if you believe in science, you're contradicting everything that you just said about believing in science. So go fuck yourself. But anyway. And see, Sam agrees, vodka kills all germs. So I'm good. And they also said that THC was a help. So I should be good from this variant. Mm-hmm. I should be good. Meanwhile, I did get a little cone roller my wife bought me. She decided to get me a little gift in the mail. And
nice.
Amazon brought me a cone roller, so I've been rolling cones. That's a fucking badass little thing that she bought me. Anyway, kind of surprised we got into that, but I'm glad we did, because I kind of meant to ask you about it, but it's a sensitive subject with a lot of people. It really is. It really is. And again, because it became political, it's a sensitive subject. It shouldn't be Republican or Democrat. You either want to get the shot or you don't. I don't give a shit if you're fucking Republican, Democrat. I don't give a shit if you fucking hate whoever.
And it
doesn't matter.
Them, honestly, like I hate Joe Biden. I hate Donald Trump. I hate fucking, what's her name? Hillary Clinton. Like, I hate all of them. I'm a Bernie Sanders guy, like, to the death of me.
But other than that, Jesus, like, I hate Christ. Everyone else. Stop. But. Don't be a Bernie, bro. But I will say one thing right here. All politicians lie to you, no matter which side they're on. But every president is a fucking puppet, and I think that might have been one of the problems with Trump, is he actually wanted to run shit, and they were like, oh, fuck no, you're supposed to just sit there and do what we tell you. To me, every president is just a fucking, basically just a front man for everything else going on behind the scenes that none of us know about or probably want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I never really have any dog in the presidential fight, to be honest with you. But I've said all this before. But anyway, the, you know.
Real quick, I voted for Jill Stein. And, like, I, because basically she was like, Bernie didn't win the election, Bernie got robbed or whatever. She was like, I'm Bernie, but, like, I'm more extreme. I'm more socialist, whatever. So I voted for her, but, like, there was, I was at work one day and people were getting into like a rather heated argument and debate and fight about like who you should vote for, who you vote for, whatever. Mm-hmm. And this girl came up to me and she was like, who did you vote for? And I said, Jill Stein. And like, she just said nothing to me. She moved on. And like, I am absolutely from now and forever going to vote for the independent candidate for that reason, because it's like, you do not get fucked with.
Well,
like, people just leave you alone.
From now on, I'm just going to write in RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do. RoboCop.
I saw The Terminator for the first time this week.
Whoa. Stop.
Remove.
Stop. Nope. Okay. Stop. You saw Terminator for the first time this week?
It was great. It was great. It really was. It was great. But, like, if you take away the fact that he used guns, if you remove the guns and give him a machete, it's a horror movie.
Why would you remove the guns? What the fuck is wrong with you?
No, but I'm saying, like, he, like, the beginning of the movie, he kills, like, these young punk teens. And then, like, he goes door to door killing these old women. Like, if you remove the guns and you give him a hatchet, it's a horror movie. Because like, he's basically nonsensically killing people, like, a la a horror movie.
I will bet if you go to IMDb, that is the first one is a sci-fi horror. And I will bet if you go to Terminator 2, it is a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it's sci-fi. Sci-fi action is what they say on Hulu.
Okay. All right. I'm surprised they don't put little horror on there, because Hulu really gets really deep with their ratings. But I'm more shocked you've only seen that you just saw Terminator. Have you seen Terminator 2?
No. That'd be wild if, like, I love Terminator 2, but I hadn't seen Terminator 1 first. Like, I love that fucking movie, but, yeah, no, I haven't seen Terminator. Like, I know of it, but, like, and I might have seen it, like, as I was a child, but, like, I haven't seen it to the degree that, like, I know what's going on, I can appreciate it, I can judge it whether or not it's a good film or not, but I really, really, really enjoyed Terminator 1.
Terminator 2 is better.
All right.
Actually, me and Anthony reviewed Terminator 2 instead of 1 for a reason.
We talked about this, like, off the air, like, when we were getting ready. But if he's listening, I don't know if he is or if he isn't. Shout out to Anthony. Like, nothing but love for you, you know what I mean?
There you go, man. There you go. Nothing but. All right. We should probably get back to wrestling. After
we've been like on for an hour and a half. Like
no, half we've been on for about 30 minutes. We've been talking, but I don't know. Man, like I said, man, I'm kind of glad we got on that vaccine thing, because it's kind of it's one of those things that just been kind of floating around. And listen, when WWE goes to Madison Square Garden right now, they need vaccine proof before they go in, and a lot of even Meltzer is saying that the reason that some of these WWE shows are canceling is because some of these states that they're going to are asking for proof of vaccination. And they're not getting the ticket sales because of it. So it's got a little tie into wrestling on that note. But I guess to throw us back a little bit to where we were, and I don't want to completely pull us away from where we were, but AEW once again gaining viewers every week, and we'll see what happens. I got a feeling this little Labor of Jericho thing is going to be a big draw for them. Nick Gage next week, I think, is going to draw even more viewers. You're going to get the GCW, the Deathmatch fans tuning in to see what happens, what they're allowed to do on network television.
I was seeing that. I saw one of the people that was in the group that I follow said that you better get ready for a lot of reversals, because Jericho isn't going to take any of those fucking bumps. And like,
bullshit.
Maybe not. Like, he might take one or two of them, but like, he's not trying to kill himself out there for this shit. But still, though, I'm super excited for this. I'm excited for GCW. I'm excited for Nick Gage. I'm excited for Dynamite next week. But like, that's the thing, though, is I was thinking about this, and maybe this is a pretentious way to look at things, but, like, with the Monday Night Wars, I don't think people cared that much. Like, in hindsight, I don't feel like people cared that much about who won. It was just the idea that we had an alternative. And, right. like, right now, we have an alternative. You know what I mean? Like, we have AEW is there, whether you like it or whether you're not. Like, the idea that, like, CM Punk might be joining AEW, Daniel Bryan might be joining AEW. Like, there's so much going on with just AEW and with other alternatives than WWE right now. Like, if you're a wrestling fan, like, I don't see how you could not be ecstatic right now.
Absolutely, man. There's not even just so much going on. There's so much mystery going on right now, which is, you know, if you go back to the WWE, WCW, you know, like you said, the Monday Night Wars, when one guy would jump to here. And it's not like they're jumping anymore because these shows aren't on the same nights anymore. They're not. Mm. So there's a little difference, but just the fact that everything is going on, I mean, you got the number one. Let's just put number one out there. Number one, they're back to touring. They're back to live fans in the crowd. Okay? That right there is making the show great and better and more fun to watch immediately. Like, you're almost literally back into the shows just for that right there. You've got fucking, you know, you got NXT out there now. You got all these shows out there now. You've got, like you said, Daniel Bryan possibly signing with AEW. You got Nick Gage coming in to AEW. Did anyone ever think you're going to see Nick Gage against Chris Jericho on network television? Ever? Mm. Ever? Anyone? Ever? In a death match at that? No. You got Daniel Bryan Danielson. Let's go ahead and give his real name out there. That is possibly signing. There's so many ifs that are going on right now that it's really a good time to be a wrestling fan, man. And it's been a long time, to be honest with you. It's been a long time.
It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. You got WWE doing what they're doing, and like they're gearing up for SummerSlam. You have AEW; they're gearing up for their next big pay per view, All In, I think it is, or All Out. Either way, they're in
All
Chicago.
Out.
They're dealing with potentially, you know, bringing back CM Punk, and that's going to be great. And then, like, even if you're not a fan of North American wrestling or, you know, USA wrestling, AAA, they're gearing up for Triple Mania. So, like, right now, regardless of what company you follow, like, every company is gearing up for something great. So it's a lot of fun right now.
Definitely. Most definitely is. You know, this whole Nick Gage conversation kind of brings us right into the next little news item we can get into. Nick Gage was asked by a fan on Cameo kind of his thoughts on the Jericho match coming up, or the Nick Gage versus the Painmaker match coming up, is what he was really asked. And I can't do it justice, but Nick Gage can. So here it is, right here.
It's the godless shit, Nick fucking Gage. You know I start this shit off. Shout out to my Murder, Death, Kill gang members around the fucking world. Shout out to all my boys locked up in the cell, Eastern Block. Shout out to my hate club. R.I.P. Big Nate Hatred. And R.I.P. my motherfucking brother Justice Payne. And I want to give a big MDK gang gang shout out to my gang member John and my gang member Wah. And I want to tell you both, thank you for repping the gang the right fucking way. I want to thank you for supporting Nick Gage for all these motherfucking years. Because let's keep it real. If it wasn't for you two and the rest of the gang, I wouldn't be here right now. And I wouldn't be doing what I love. And that's professional deathmatch wrestling. So I want to say thank you. And you're asking me about the Painmaker? Well, guess what? I don't give a fuck what his name is. It could be Chris Jericho. It could be Painmaker, Pacemaker, or whatever. I'm going to go in that ring. And I'm going to leave that ring with my weapon in my motherfucking hand with blood dripping off of it. Because I'd rather die in that ring than to lose to that motherfucker. And I'm going to represent for all my deathmatch warriors out there. Because I'm going to carve him up from head to toe. So when that painmaker looks in the mirror every day when he wakes up, he's going to know that God of this shit did that to him. You know what it is. It's MDK all motherfucking day. Free my boy 2-6.
Okay, there was no way I could have done that justice.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be said by Nick Gage himself. There you go. First of all, one of the best lines was the painmaker, the pacemaker. I don't give a shit. What is that? I love that one. That was great. I like that. The pacemaker.
That match is going to be so much fun.
Dude, I honestly kind of wish there was more of a build so we'd get some promos out of both these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do. I'm hope if they have any brains next week, they'll let Gage do one promo before the match.
I think they will, but they're having such a hard time, and I get it, but like, it's funny because they're having such a hard time putting over Nick Gage, but like without swearing. And that is such an important part of his overall oeuvre.
Well,
of just being like MDK all freaking day.
Well,
Excalibur saying,
yeah, I don't see the crowd chanting Nick freaking Gage. Is I'm just saying.
They're gonna swear like a lot.
Yeah, and once again, man, congratulate. You know, a couple of podcasts I was listening to played that pop for him back, and man, I gotta tell you, congratulations to Gage, man. That crowd knew who the fuck he was. They gave him a great pop for what is probably the biggest crowd he's ever been in front of in his life. And that just had to be a fucking amazing moment for him. So once again, just congrats to him, man. This is such a big moment for him. This is such a big match for him. And this could mean more for Nick Gage in the future. In AEW. Maybe even more. Who knows? He's never going to WWE. We know that. But the fact that they brought him in once to AEW, this could mean a lot, a lot for him. And let's just hope.
Well, the other day, not today, but yesterday, was the one-year anniversary of when Eddie Kingston accepted Cody Rhodes' challenge. So that's kind of interesting too, is just the idea that like that might be another like calling card or another like symbolic, you know, event for Nick Gage, that, you know, there's this guy in the indies who ended up making a big name for himself on that moment.
I think Nick Gage and a company like that could be an asset for them. He could just be a hired hitman, you know what I mean?
He gets over, like, period, point blank. Like, I'm not a super big fan of his, honestly. I like GCW and I like independent wrestling, but, like, I'm not one of these MDK, like, gonna stab you if you talk shit about the Gage type of fans. But he gets over. He builds a connection with people, and, like, that is the most important thing that you want, regardless of whatever the wrestler is that you back. Like, you want somebody that can connect with people, period.
Dude, Nick Gage is the fucking Insane Clown Posse of wrestling. He is the fucking Juggalo of wrestling.
Yeah. Like, honestly, that's a good point. Like, that's a good parallel. Like, I don't care for ICP either, but they have their fan base. Like, they connect with people. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and he does too, man. You watch. When he comes out there, he's going to be, you know, sitting back in the crowd. They're going to be chanting Nick effing Gage, or if they can show it. Nick fucking Gage. Nick fucking Gage. Oh, I'm so interested. I'm more interested to see how this is gonna come off on network television than anything. This is like when Scarface was coming on network television, and I was interested. I was like, oh my god, how are they gonna show it? And this is almost the same feeling. Like, how are they going to show Nick Cage on network television? It's got the same vibe to me. I don't know. All right. Want to move on a little bit, smart. Keeping with AEW, though, we're going to go ahead and say. Now, we all saw, I believe it was Thursday. Thunder Rosa has actually been signed with AEW. And everyone was kind of like, how did she do that? She's got a contract with NWA. Well, it seems like way back in 2020, she did request her release, and it was finally granted. So, Billy Corgan, I'm sure there was a little upside for Corgan in this deal. But she was allowed to sign with AEW, and she will be focused on a lot more from what we're seeing here, which is good. I mean, she's going to be great for that company if they really have her. I hope they got her locked down pretty good because she loves going and working all other little companies. But it's going to be I'm happy for her. I'm happy for this is a good get for AEW, especially in the women's division. So, I mean, I know they've kind of put her to her peak already with her and Britt Baker, but I think she's got a lot more to give to a lot more talent out there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's a veteran, so, you know, she has the experience. She knows how to get over. She knows how to connect with people. So she has a lot that she can offer the company, in my opinion.
And she knows
how to... But, like, that's kind of funny thing is, like, I know that they deal with certain contractors or certain people, like, on an independent basis, and they don't have everybody signed, but, like, it's the idea that, like, we've been seeing her for months now, and we're just now seeing the graphic that she has signed. Yeah. It's kind of funny to me. Because, like, I can picture them doing, like, something like that with Cody. It's like, Cody Rhodes is all elite. Like, yeah, we've fucking been seeing him. Like, we know.
Yeah, and, you know, Thunder Rosa's not only good in the ring, like you said, and, you know, like we both just said, can definitely be an asset to this company, but she knows how to get not only herself over, but she knows how to get someone else over too.
Right.
So she is going to be, as you said before, a veteran that can really be a big asset to this company in many ways. So they've got to...
Let us not forget the fact that she is very attractive.
No. Yes. She has a little bit of... She definitely is. And... I don't know. Gonna be good to see her around more. Like I said, I got a feeling NWA is still gonna use her a little bit here and there. So I don't know. We'll see what happens on that front. But I think that might be all the AEW stuff that we got to get in. Nope, I've got one more actually here, Smark.
All right.
Now, Smark, are you a fan of Family Feud or Celebrity Family Feud?
Kind of. Like, I'm a fan of what it was before. Like, I enjoyed back in the old days when it was, like, Richard Dawson or Richard Karn, where they were actually getting actual answers out of people and not, like, the Steve Harvey version where it's like, what's something that you love to put in your mouth? Like, number one answer is a cock. Like, I don't like that shit. Like, it's so fucking lame.
It's really turned into what's the filthiest answer you can get away with on network television. That's really what it's turned into. But there's a celebrity edition coming up. It is David Arquette versus Paul Rubens. But Jungle Boy, Pretty Peter Avalon, Dalton Castle will be a part of this show.
And that is the name, above all else, that I feel bad for. Because, like, I feel like if Dalton Castle were to go to NXT or AEW or anywhere else, like, he would have gotten super over. Like, he is an incredible talent to me. Mm. Like, he is great in terms of charisma and all that. So, I feel like being in AEW, or being in ROH, rather, like, it's a waste of his talent, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, not only are all those people on it, Smark, And by the way, Dalton Castle, obviously the ROH world champion. But Drew Carey, Hall of WWE Hall of Famer Drew Carey, will also be a part of this show. And that will be airing Sunday, if you guys want to check that out. If you don't, I don't blame you. And we'll leave it at that.
If you don't want to watch that, I understand. But anyways,
moving on. Anyway, we'll go ahead and move on from there. Let's see here. What else we got here? You know what, Smark? We have two. You know what? We'll kind of stick with AEW. We have two Jim Ross articles to get into here. I have one, and you have one.
I do.
I have one. Jim Ross was talking about a few things on Grillin' JR, his podcast, and he was talking about what star he feels is the closest to Stone Cold Steve Austin right now. And the person he said, believe it or not, was Jon Moxley. His quote was, "Jon Moxley is the closest thing I've seen in pro wrestling, like Stone Cold. Since Stone Cold," Ross said, "attitude, body English, facial expressions, legitimate intensity, absolutely phenomenal." Ross continued on and said, "Moxley is not one of those guys that doesn't know how to do a TV match. But we've got some guys who haven't had that opportunity," Ross mentioned. "Now they're continuing to get that experience. When you work 30-something shows in Daly's Place and many without an audience, you've got to pick it up. And I think our guys are doing that. I'm just in love with our roster. The guys are having so much fun. Our audience, because they're younger, they've come prepared. They have signs, posters. It reminds me of an Attitude Era." Ooh, not really, Jim Ross. "As far as the audience participation, it's a really good time to be a wrestling fan," which we just talked about. "No matter which brand you support, I'm a really big believer. If you're a wrestling fan, be a wrestling fan of all of them." So, you know, that part we just talked about. But what do you think about Moxley being the modern day Steve Austin? I'm not on this train at all. I gotta disagree.
No.
No.
I always compare him to like the modern day Norm Macdonald, which I know is a wild parallel to draw. But like when Cody was doing that thing where he's like, I don't see why we couldn't like develop a working relationship with WWE. Like, I feel like we could be friends and all that. Like, they talked to Moxley about that. And he was like, "I think that idea is fucking dumb." Like, he just seems to be, there's no dishonesty. There's no pretext. There's no like, you know, idea that you're supposed to say this or say that. Like, I just feel like he is the most unfiltered person in wrestling, that he gives his honest opinion regardless of if he likes it or not, or if that's going to get him in trouble or not. Like, there's an honest filter with him.
But he doesn't give off a Stone Cold vibe to me. Moxley does not give off this Stone Cold vibe to me at all. Moxley actually, I mean, they wanted Stone Cold to be this kind of settle in with the working class and this and that, but Moxley doesn't do that. Moxley is this fucking whiskey drinking dude that has this really hot wife that most guys couldn't fucking get.
Yeah, that's true, but like, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's the best case scenario for a lot of us. We're like, oh, he's done
his you're entire like, life. You're like, was well, drunk you know, people,
but he still has a pretty attractive fiance and all that kind of thing.
It's like, well, I mean, if you're going to go Stone Cold, he's like Stone Cold Light, and that's about the best we're going to get. Is that what you're saying?
He really is, but like, he didn't beat women, so that's good.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's great, which JR obviously didn't bring up, but
that he beat the shit out of his wife.
I mean, he didn't beat the shit out of Deborah, but give it time. He might do that. Again.
I gave him a face a couple of times. Who knows? Oh my God.
I'm gonna text the wife and see if she can bring a shot. But listen, even the bad thing is, we're just not gonna get another Stone Cold. We're not gonna get another Rock. We're not gonna get another any of those guys. Can we stop? Let's stop comparing. Right. Becky is not the female Stone Cold. Stop with all this shit. We're never going to get another.
The people that are in that are over right now as they are over. Because like Stone Cold at the time was not another Stone Cold. He wasn't another Hogan. He wasn't another Savage. Like, he was over for what he was over for.
Right.
And like, I feel like right now you just have to appreciate the people that you enjoy, regardless of like drawing whatever unrealistic parallel that you can do for them. Like, right. Eddie Kingston is Eddie Kingston. He's not The Rock. He's not Stone Cold. He's Eddie Kingston.
Right.
Like, you know, Samoa Joe or Darby Allin or whoever it is that you like, enjoy them. But you don't have to, you know, shine a mirror to them. You don't have to compare them to whoever you liked back in the day. Like, just like them for what they are now.
Right. Look at some Mark Spitting facts right now. Listen, Stone Cold and The Rock didn't go out looking to say, I want to be another so-and-so. They went out and said, I'm going to do my best at being the best me, the best Stone Cold, the best Rock. They didn't go out trying to imitate anyone. They went out there and were themselves, turned up to fucking 25, both of them, and that's what got over. The fact that they weren't being scripted in promos is what got over. The fact that they could both go out there and connect with the crowd is what fucking got them over. The fact that Stone Cold was going out there and beating the shit out of his boss, like 90% of this fucking country would love to do, and probably fucking every other country out there, is what got him over. Not that he was trying to be another fucking wrestler. He was trying to be himself, and that's what got him over. That's all I'm saying. How the fuck are we going on these tangents tonight?
I like it. I really do. Like, we're being very passionate about what it is.
I'm just saying, don't go out and try to be, I want to be, you know, the next Stone Cold. I want to be the next The Rock. I want to be the next Triple H. Or I want to be the next Zack Ryder. And no one's saying that. I'm kidding with you.
I'm loving the chat that we have right now.
I am too. I'm looking.
And I'm like, how are you doing, Dirk? And he's like, I'm high as a kite. And Sam says, me too. So everybody is fucked up right now. I love it.
Well, I got a little left of the joint from last night, and I got another one over here. I'm going to be there soon. But
it's another shot in your honor in just a moment. So everybody that you're listening to and that is in this chat right now, we're all fucked up. We're all adults. We're all having a good time. So
just reminded me to text the wife shot. Let me text the wife shot. SHOT ! Question mark. There we go. Okay. Let's see.
Like Sam was saying, they want to be the next superstar, but fuck comparisons. But yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, they want to be their own person. Like, nobody is trying to be the next Stone Cold. Nobody is trying to be the next Rock. Like, they're all trying to be their own individual person. And you can't duplicate what they did, because what they did happened on a different time frame in a different situation. Like, you're not going to get The Rock because The Rock happened organically. You're not going to get the same type of Stone Cold or the same type of, you know, like Jon Moxley is right now, because that happened organically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Listen, you can make comparisons that, okay, Roman Reigns is kind of like The Rock. Everybody hated him a few months ago or a year ago. He came back and now everyone loves him. Not exactly. It's not exactly the way it goes. He's not The Rock. He doesn't have the fucking intensity The Rock has. He doesn't have the promo skills The Rock has. Cutting great promos, yes, as Roman Reigns, not as the next Rock. not as the next Rock. If it, no one should be out there trying to be the next so-and-so. Fill in the blank. Just be the best fucking you, and maybe that'll fucking help us out a lot in our wrestling love or something, whatever you want to call it. All right. Anyway, way to go, Jim Ross. Way to not make a good comparison. I don't like the Moxley Stone Cold comparison. I don't like the Becky Stone Cold comparison. I don't like any of them. I don't like any of the comparisons to the guys of old, because they were what they were because that's what they were. Plain and simple. I don't know how else to put it. Smark. You've got a little Jim Ross article here. Speaking of, you know, we're kind of talking about AEW and WWE kind of mixing things together a little bit there. And you got an article kind of doing the same thing.
Jim Ross promoting AEW or WWE Dynamite.
WWAEWE Dynamite.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so Jim Ross, I'm going to pull this up right here. Jim Ross on which AEW star is the closest thing to being Stone Cold, since we're talking about that. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Whoa,
from Wrestling.
Stop. Wrong article.
Really?
I just talked about that. You want to get the Jim Ross response. Criticism over AEW signing too many former WWE stars.
All right. Well, there we go.
I love it.
Jim Ross responds to criticism of AEW saying too many former WWE stars. This is from Wrestling Inc. Still. You motherfucker. Like, you called me out on that.
I tried to stop you before you repeated the same article and I embarrassed you.
You did, but I can't be embarrassed. So it's all good. Anyways, earlier this month, Aleister Black, aka Malakai Black, made his debut in AEW, attacking Cody Rhodes on AEW Dynamite. Black will make his debut against Cody Rhodes on August 14th, episode of Dynamite, his homecoming. AEW commentator Jim Ross spoke about Black's arrival in AEW, saying that Black will is going to make his appearance. Jim Ross continued to make the talk about former WWE star surprise appearance on grilling JR. Mentioned it. God damn, but I didn't see him all day. I haven't met him all day in my life. And I didn't meet him before coming to the show, Jim Ross said. I know famous rumblings that we got. Oh my God.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tap out. Hold on. Like, go ahead and mention what you were saying. I know the rumblings that we've got so many surprises tonight, and that I've been adamant with my associates and Peppers.
Peppers! Tap out. And Peppers! And Peppers! Pierce or Peppers, Smark?
Pierce.
Smart, you want me to take over reading this bad boy?
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
I'm going to go back to the last. I'm going to start with, I knew the rumblings that we've got some surprises tonight, and I've been very adamant with my associates and peers that I don't need to know that information. Now that may have come off as arrogant, but for me to be real, natural, and spontaneous, I don't need to know it. I don't need to precondition myself. It loses the magic. I don't need to know any finishes. The day I can't interoperate a finish. See, I had a problem with that one, too. You would have had a big problem with that one, Smark.
I would have had a tremendous problem.
The day I can't interoperate a finish and how it works out. When I can't do that, then someone else will be sitting in the chair in the middle. Or when you can't decide what company you work for. That might be a spot there, but he keeps going here and talking about here. I'm going to go down to this here. AEW has received criticism from some fans about signing too many former WWE superstars who are old. WWE Hall of Famer Booker T stated that the company could be heading in the direction of WCW back in March, which I disagree with Booker on that, and we'll get into that in a minute. This past week, it was revealed that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan reportedly signed with the company, and Ross did mention a little bit. He said, it's a weak argument. Ross said, I don't agree with that. I'm not knocking WWE. It's not my charge in life to criticize the WWE. I had 26 years there in WWE. Holy shit. 26 mm-hmm. years.
Well, he debuted at WrestleMania 9.
Oh, my God. No wonder he has Stockholm Syndrome and says WWE now and then. I don't feel like we're in a wrestling war. The war is AEW versus itself. Getting our young guys to continue to evolve and get better. I think we are seeing that. Some of our homegrown kids are starting to find their way. It's a big difference in working in PWG or an indie show, working a match on a national television show. It's a different mindset. It's a different ball game. And a lot of our guys never had that, never played that ball game. Ties in a little bit to the article we talked about before, but I do agree with Jim Ross here. It's a shitty argument. They're not putting the WWE talent they sign ahead of the talent that they're trying to grow. You don't see Miro going ahead of fucking Hangman Adam Page. Mm. You know, you don't see... you know, they're not throwing Big Show ahead of anybody. They're not doing things like that. They're still focusing on their talent. They're going to use this WWE talent as, okay, I've done the TV. I've done, I know how the production thing works. And they're going to help these younger guys get over. If that's how they're using these guys, who the fuck am I to complain if they're going to make AEW talent that I'm watching on television better?
Right.
So as long as they're not using these guys, listen, if they bring in, let's say CM Punk, if they happen to bring him in and he goes ahead of everybody and gets that fucking, championship spot, which I don't think is going to happen, we can bitch. Right now, I think they're not overusing the WWE guys. They're not letting them jump talent that they're trying to build. So who gives a shit if they're good? They should sign some of these guys. They're good guys to have around. They're smart. They know the business. They know the television side of it. They've been around it. What are they supposed to just, if they're gone from WWE, never get a job again, not work again? No one's supposed to care about them again? Go off into obscurity? Nah, right. Come on.
Yeah, it's really weird because like that's the only other alternative company for people who do the business as they do it. And like the idea that once you end up finishing your career with WWE that you can't do anything else is kind of weird. But yeah. Like, that's the thing, is like they have other people, like they have gotten over other stars. Like you might tune in to AEW to watch Jon Moxley or to watch Chris Jericho or whatever, but you see Darby Allin, you see Eddie Kingston, you see other people who have gotten over on their own because of what the company is doing. Like they put other people in charge to be successful.
Yeah. They do. And again, they're not jumping, you know, WWE stars and going, hey, you're a WWE star. Let's throw you right into the fucking, you know, main event picture. They're not doing that right now. When they start doing that, we can come back here and piss and moan about it. Until they do that, let's just let them do what they're doing. Let them build their roster. Everyone says, oh, their roster's a bunch, you know, most of the people that don't like AEW, oh, their roster's a bunch of fucking nobodies. Well, they're getting a few somebodies. If you're going to bitch about the fact that they're getting somebodies and then bitch about the fact that they're a bunch of nobodies, find something else to watch.
Right. Well, that was the thing with, like, people were talking about with CM Punk potentially joining AEW, with Bryan Danielson potentially joining AEW, that they weren't enough by themselves to get people to jump ship or to get, you know, the tides of the rating war to change. But like, if you're tuning in for the first time because you see a Jon Moxley because you see a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk, and like you're seeing also, you know, that they're using Rusev or they're using Pentagon or they're using Jack Swagger to whatever capacity that you want them to be used as, like you're gonna come back, period. Like they're going to get a lot of people who came in to see Daniel Bryan or to see CM Punk that come back weekly because of how many other stars they built.
Yeah. And to tie into that, this word we're talking about a little bit, Smark also sent me a little thing that says a WWE source has said that internally the belief is that Punk has signed with AEW. Now, Ringside News put out the old, it's official, blah, blah, blah. I would sooner cut off my own finger than believe a Ringside News article.
Right.
I'm going to wait until the AEW site confirms it before. And listen, they may not until he debuts, which, you know, All Out is in Chicago, which no matter if they debut him or not, now they're going to get CM Punk chance. So they either deliver or they're going to leave with a salty, salty, salty fucking crowd.
It's interesting because Christopher Kane on the chat here says AEW isn't doing what Impact did. I feel like AEW is doing better than Impact did.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, with AEW, with, like, what they're doing, they feel like a genuine competitor. Like, yeah, they may be finishing in second right now, but, like, they feel like a genuine alternative to what WWE was doing at the time. Like, there is so much more to be excited about with AEW than there was with Impact at the time when they were doing their Monday shows.
Yeah, and you know, Impact did a little bit of Impact not only hired the WWE guys, but they shoved them right into the spots that we were talking about. They put them right into the championship spots, right into the main event. And they never, once they got those WWE guys, they kind of forgot about their homegrown talent, which is why we see AJ Styles now in WWE thriving in WWE. He's one of the things I love watching is AJ Styles. It really is. Not just, and believe it or not, more of the backstage antics he does than the in-ring antics he does. Oh, what the fuck is that?
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's all right. I don't know, man. I don't feel that AEW is going Impact. I don't feel AEW is going WCW 2000. I don't feel they're doing either one. I think they're being very careful who they pick to bring in, and I think they're using them in the correct way. And again, until they start throwing those guys into those main event status spots ahead of their talent that they're trying to build, I mean, Christian Cage was supposed to be this massive Hall of Fame worthy talent. Who's he gone up? Who is he fucking leapfrogged? Anyone?
Right.
No. None of them.
See, and that's what I think, like, more than anything is that positive of AEW is that regardless of whatever you think AEW is doing right now, they are legitimate, like, alternative to WWE, period.
Yeah.
Like, they give you something else to watch, they give you something else to view. Like, you know, like, that's the thing, like, with the Monday Night Wars, like, too many people are focused on the idea that it was about who won. It wasn't about who won, it was about the idea that you could have other alternatives. You could be a wrestling fan, you could watch AEW, you could watch, you know, at the time WCW or ECW or whatever. Like, it was the idea that you had other alternatives to watch other than WWE, because right now WWE is fucking stale.
It is. Getting better, maybe. But I'll tell you what, on that note, though, that we're talking about, you know, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, former WWE stars signing with AEW, and obviously one of the rumors is not only CM Punk, but Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him, is signing. WWE fans are a little, they're not taking it well. Right. Let's put it that way.
Just imagine what it's like to be a WWE fan right now. Where it's like, AEW might be getting Daniel Bryan, AEW might be getting CM Punk again. Mm. Like, your reaction to that is, we're getting Goldberg again.
Mm. Like, we're getting Goldberg and Cena back. Yeah.
We're getting a guy who can't promo for very long, who can't wrestle for very long, but like, no. He was over 20 years ago in a company that we spent all our time and energy to make fun of. So here we go.
Yeah. Now, Dirt Sheet Radio put this out. It's a few tweets from some fans tweeting Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, again, whatever you want to call him. I'm going to read some of these. You guys just prepare for this. This is some WWE fans, obviously hardcore WWE fans. First one, if it's true that you really, capital letters, did sign with that joke of a minor league company, you've thrown your entire legacy down the drain. You might not see it, but most see that the only place that has true stars is WWE. All others are simply wannabes and has-beens, period. Exclamation point on period. With all WWE has done for you and your family, you'd be forever known as the weak traitor. I really hope that this report, air quotes, isn't true, but would be very embarrassing for you. Ooh. Not happy about this. Not happy. Oh, don't worry. I'm not done. A gentleman named Jaden.05 said, but like, for real, how are you given everything and turn your back that gave you everything and sign with the rival company? Okay, this is why you don't take fucking wrestling fans seriously. and then he just puts, sell out with a little yawn emoji. Another person puts, what happened to loyalty? Remember when Tamer, I believe he meant to say Taker, or she, the name is Lemon Pepper Poppy. I don't know what's going on here. What happened to loyalty? Remember when Taker, I'm going to go ahead and correct him, Sean Hunter, stuck it out during the Monday Night Wars and WWE prevailed. I'm not done. I'm not done. I got more. Okay, sorry. But from now onwards, not from now on, from now onwards, I hate you. You leave WWE for AEW. You got everything in WWE, and now you betray them. I'm sorry for my words, but it's emotion. And he says, good luck, which is spelled G-U-D, luck. I can't take these people seriously. I can't do it, Smart. I can't do it. Shit, I think this might be the last one. All right, I got a couple more here. And I'm almost done. I don't know how to react now. Happy you're coming back wrestling, or feel furious you're leaving WWE for AEW. Iceman Fresh was obviously icy about this. Why? Just why? You were my idol. I'm destroyed. Not like you care. Iceman again. How could you betray us WWE fans that have waited and been with you since the beginning? And last, NGL.
Well, I mean, if they had been with him since the beginning, they knew that he was in Ring of Honor. They knew that he was in IWA Mid-South. They knew that he had not been privy to being a loyalist for any independent wrestling company. So, no. Like, how is that that they loved him, but they had only loved him as a WWE guy?
No, this is no. You can go nowhere except WWE. Last one here, NGL, which I believe is not gonna lie. I lost respect for man. That's what he. That, I'm
respect. their independence as an interesting company.
I'm reading this verbatim. NGL, I lost respect for man. WWE, you everything. No, WWE have you everything you wanted. And you said you were going to stop wrestling to be with your family. Now you're going to WWE's top competitor, even though in global ratings they ain't close to WWE. Yes, they are. But it's still kind of cheap, and you lied, but hope you do good and don't get injured. Okay. WWE fans are scary, number one. Number two, proofread.
It's so amazing that, like, all the various news articles, there's Observer, and all these other websites, Fightful, Select, and all these that we go to time and time again have been proven to be just the most undesirable readers. Like, there are so many titles.
Well, luckily, these are tweets, and these are people doing this, but I think it's, I mean, fans are turning on Daniel Bryan because he's switching. Possibly, it's not even official. It's not even confirmed. And people are already trashing this guy like he's some piece of shit jumping to the fucking enemy.
Right.
By the way, the company that's not even on as the same night as WWE, or the same time, or the same time zone. And people are already, this is what's wrong with wrestling. These people are what's wrong with wrestling. Okay? Right. Where is he supposed to go? What's he supposed to do? If he leaves WWE, just retire, be with his family, and be happy? No. He feels he has something else to give. And if he has something else to give, and AEW will let him give it, let him give it.
Right.
I don't know what else to say. I really don't. It baffles me that people can be this just fucking dumb to really. Even someone in our chat said, I think it was Christopher Kane, said, where's he supposed to go? There's nowhere else to fucking go.
Right.
What's he going to go to? Impact? Oh, Daniel Bryan did Impact. Oh, look, they got 134,000 viewers this week, up from 122. What? Is that what he's supposed to do? No, come on, man. Come on, man. Isn't that what Joe Biden says? Come on, man.
Come on, man. I mean, I'm totally in agreement with you with that. Like, they should want to do better. And, like, as wrestling fans, they should want more from the product. So,
I don't know. But apparently, it's just like politics, and you have to pick a side. You're either with WWE or you're against it. Or you're either with AEW or you're against it. You can't just like both. You can't like wrestling. You can't just like watching wrestling. You have to like one or the other. You can't just like a little bit of both. A little taste.
It's so crazy right now. Because, like, the top comment right now is from Weeps. It says, Meat Eater is dissing on Brian. And then the comment to that is Sasha Baron Corbin says, only if he wants to live in Canada.
And you're right. It's all just probably a bunch of fucking people eating cheeseburgers and drinking Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm. I could go for a cheeseburger right now.
Ooh, I had one for lunch. I had Burger King. It was good. It was good.
Nice.
It was good. It was decent. This is actually the first day this week I've had like a real lunch. So besides like Slim Jims and fucking granola bars.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nice to have that. So, all right, let's move on. I just don't see where we have to pick everything and choose a side on everything now that we can't we all just get along, Smart?
I think we just get along.
Just need to get along. It's so sad. Anyway, Well, speaking of cashing in, Smark. Speaking of selling out, there you go. A lot of people in WWE this week must know something going on that we don't. A lot of people decided to sell stock. Triple H, Vince, Stephanie, Nick Khan, Kevin Dunn. A lot of them sold a lot of stock this week. Again, they may know something we don't, but Kevin Dunn sold about 701,000 worth of stock this week. Let's see here. Nick Khan sold about 53,000 worth of stock. Triple H, about 221,000. Now, I'm not saying this is uncommon. They do this, especially when they just declared their quarterly dividend, which was pretty good for them. they did very good this quarter, of course. I think they're going to do even better next quarter with them going back on the road. So we will definitely see. But I think that's going to be a huge spike for them, getting their merch sales back up, people actually being in the fucking crowd. But a little suspect that a bunch of these people decided to go out. Stephanie, by the way, sold 214,000. And Vince decided to go ahead and sell about 850,000 worth of shares. Again, not completely out of the ordinary after, you give your quarterlies, but they know something we don't. That's all I'm saying. Right. All I'm saying. And they sold it. By the way, WWE stocks right now are worth $48.68. If you bought like a year and a half ago, you're doing well. Yeah. You're doing well, because about a year and a half ago, their stocks were plummeting, if you remember.
Yeah, there was a story that was on, I believe, Wrestling Juice. It was the Steven Larson Fringecast that they had done a couple episodes about, like, but they were reviewing what it was like to work for WWE. So they were going on Glassdoor.com and, like, reading out some of the experiences. And one of the things that made me laugh was that there was one person that had worked for them that was just like, your politics were antiquated and you were sexist and racist and all this. But then also one of the things that had stuck out to them was that your rug was antiquated. And that seemed like such a fucking thing for them to do. Was it just like they had tripped over the rug so many times? That was just like, you need to get a new rug, motherfucker. Yeah, you're racist and sexist, but also the fact that you don't have a new rug is fucking fucked up too.
You're racist, you're sexist, and your rug sucks.
It was the most realest shit. Because there was no way that you work for them that you don't require a fucking bashing of their rug.
That person's hair is purple or green, I'm telling you right now. Okay, mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
We'll talk.
There you go. Oh, shit. All right, we got a couple little quick more things to get into right here, and then we're gonna go ahead and get into SmackDown and wrap this motherfucker up. But I brought this article up because I kind of find it funny. The headline of the article, it's a Wrestling Inc. article. It's says WWE reportedly has interest in bringing Braun Strowman back.
And I ended up signing with TNA. He was on Slammiversary.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He debuted along with the Iconics and with somebody else who I can't remember, but yeah.
Well, that makes sense that now they want to bring him back. All right. And I immediately went back to the Aleister Black article that we read that, oh, WWE officials are looking to bring back Aleister Black. I really feel that they're getting rid of these guys and then trying to bring them back under lower contracts.
Mm-hmm. Low ball.
I really feel that's what they're doing. But if you say he debuted over on Impact. That's interesting. Right. In such a short time, it hasn't been 90 days.
No, it hasn't been exactly that, but there was a couple of people who they were advertising for Slammiversary that was going to be a big deal, and that was one of the people that ended up bringing him back. So, Sasha Baron Corbin says, No Way Jose debuted for TNA, and Angela English is coming back, so No Way Jose is going to turn the tides of the war.
There you go. Wow. All they need now is... I mean, No Way Jose versus Daniel Bryan. I mean, Jesus Christ, that'll bring up their ratings to 135,000.
Chelsea Green came back. That's what he's saying.
Oh, there you go.
Well, she's pretty hot, though.
Oh, she's definitely hot. Definitely hot. But she ain't putting butts in the seats, is all I'm saying.
Perhaps.
All right, but I just think it's ridiculous that they're Oh, now they're looking to bring this one back and looking to bring that one back. You know what? Don't fire him then. Don't fire him. Don't give him the excuse of fucking budget cuts and then go bring in fucking Goldberg. That right. makes you look stupid. And then you're
I
like,
whoa. Can't fucking to the end of me. I can't understand why he would want to bring back Goldberg. Because, like, and shout out to Bobby Anthem, but Bobby Anthem had the most fucking on point criticism of him ever was like he can't work, like he can't cut a promo, so why are you having him cut only like limited promos, and he can't wrestle, so why are you only giving him like 5 minutes to wrestle? Like he can't do anything for you. Like he's a shitty promo, he's a shitty wrestler, he is shit. Why are you keep bringing him back?
Because he still has two matches a year under his contract, and they're not going to waste money on that,
I guess. But, like, honestly, like, if you're a fan, like, nobody was cheering for him. I saw the segment.
No.
Like, nobody gave a fuck. Like, stop it. Stop it, period. Like, stop bringing him back. Stop trying to get people to cheer for him or applaud for him. Nobody gives a fuck. So well, shit him. Fuck him. Who gives shit?
They'll bring him back when he runs out his contract. Or they'll get rid of him when his contract is out, but not until then, so.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Now, two quick things I want to get into, Smart. We got this one quick thing. WWE has filed for a new John Cena trademark. So you're going to actually have a little more Cena merchandise to buy. They filed for the trademark for John Cena for, are you ready, Smart?
No.
Earn the Day. Earn the Day.
Hmm.
What? You don't like it?
I don't like it.
It kind of reminds me of Seize the Day, which I believe is Carpe Diem in Latin. If I'm correct, I don't know if I'm right or not. I think it's Carpe Diem. I might be saying that wrong.
Carpe
but
Diem.
Yeah. In Latin. Kind of reminds me of that. I'm not sure if that's where they're going, but they have filed this trademark once again, and for the same reasons they always do, merchandise and exhibitions and blah, 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 blah. But I'd expect to see merchandise very soon coming out with Earn the Day with some John Cena pictures and colors.
Brian.
But... again, just kind of reminded me of the old Seize the Day. I had a boss that used to, that was part of his signature, was Carpe Diem or Carpe Diem or whatever you want to say. So one day I looked up what the fuck it meant, and I always remembered it meant Seize the Day.
Well, there you go.
There you go. And no, I don't speak Latin. Pig Latin, a little bit. But anyway, you know what?
I speak some Latin. I speak some Spanish, but yeah. For the most part, I don't speak Spanish or Latin all that well.
Yeah, I took Spanish in high school, but I wasn't awake a lot, so.
I took Spanish in high school too, but like the instructor was a real dickhead, so I'm trying to learn Spanish in spite of him and not because of him.
Sensible Sam says carplay diem.
I'm telling you, like, her contributions are the most amazing. Like, I wish she was here.
I now have CarPlay, so I get that one. I get that one. I have CarPlay in my new car. Actually, I got my plates yesterday, mm-hmm. Smark, and I'm a little upset about... Now, Texas plates have 3 letters and 4 numbers.
Right.
I'm not very happy about the first 3 letters of my plates.
Okay.
PRV.
PRV.
My plates are calling me a perv. I'm not sure if they knew something. Or,
well, I mean, you are.
I mean, I said to my wife, and she went, "They know you." And I'm like, "Oh, fuck you. All right. This is wrong. I've got to drive around my whole life now with PRV as my plate. Perv. Perv. How do you like that?" So anyway, those are my new plates. I just, I was a little disappointed. But I do have my plates. My car actually feels like mine now because I don't have temp plates on there. And PRV. PRV is my my first 3 letters. So if you're looking for me, look for the perv driving around Dallas, Texas. It says I'm a perv. You can find me.
Won't let me put boar dick on my plates. Fuck that shit. Fuck. I'll take your license plate box.
So there you go. I just thought I'd bring that up for absolutely no reason at all. Now, the last news article I have actually ties into SmackDown, Smark.
Right.
So, Sam, that's not funny that my plate is perv. It's not funny. Stop laughing at me.
I will say this about Sam. Like, I love Sam to death, but, like, nobody has called me a motherfucker or a bitch quite as often as Sam has.
You should take that as a badge of honor, sir. Badge of honor.
I will.
You should.
I will take that as a badge of honor, but, like, it just makes me laugh because it's just like, I love you, Smarky bitch. I'm like, all right, I love you too.
All right. Oh, shit. All right. We're about 1 hour and 40 in, and we've talked about everything but wrestling so far, it seems like. But let's go ahead and get into SmackDown, and I will get into this last news article as we get into SmackDown. What now?
She's right. What you talking about, bitch?
Oh, get my bitch, she said. Now, what are you talking about?
I will gladly be her bitch. So, like, there's no worries about that. But.
Ooh, getting a little PRV in here. a little PRV, if you know what I mean, Smark. All right, SmackDown. Let's get into it. Then we can wrap this up as we go here. Cena kicked off SmackDown, which I had no doubt was going to happen with Cena back. The crowd certainly has missed these same old shit Cena promos, which Roman brought up in his promo at the end of the show. Or definitely the crowd has missed these, Smark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have. Like, I like Roman promos for the most part, but, like, a lot of them aren't driven by Paul Heyman, so.
True.
Like, a lot of what he's doing isn't really getting over on his own. It's a lot of, like, you know, getting over based on his assemblage of characters like Roman Reigns or Jey Uso or whoever that he has around him.
You're one shot away from slurring. I thought I'd let you know
that's
that
true
one.
That's true as well, yeah.
That is. Now, Cena was doing good, and he kind of healed up a little bit talking about the Cleveland Indians. Now, did they officially change their names, Mark, or did they... Are they thinking of?
They did. They're okay. Going to change their name to something that is less racist.
It is now the Cleveland Guardians.
Cleveland Indians, yeah.
The Cleveland Guardians, which the only people not complaining about the Cleveland Indians being named the Cleveland Indians are actual Native Americans that are wondering how they're going to exist without actually being represented by anyone that is offended when they're not. Does that make sense? Why am I asking you? You're halfway fucking to slurring. Anyway. Now, Smark.
You don't know.
Now I got to ask you, Smark. Are you team jorts or team cargo pants, sir?
I hate shorts, so yeah, team cargo pants all the way.
Yeah, I don't wear shorts, so I guess I'm going to have to go with the pants. Now, Heyman came out, and he didn't really say much. He said a lot of words, but it wasn't much. But the funniest thing was him walking out, basically mimicking Cena's music. That was great. That was fucking incredible, in my opinion. Fucking incredible. So that'll all lead into what's going on down in the end of the show a little bit. Now, Finn Balor came out after that, and he decided to, as usual, show his junk to the first 10 rows. It was him versus Sami Callihan. Balor won, and the crowd is fucking loving it. Now, I got to say something, Smark, and I don't know if you agree with this. They did a very smart thing with Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic. Work with me here for a minute. His entrance is very crowd-driven, right? Big mm-hmm. crowd-driven, you know, the whole, oh, no, the crowd lets their hands out, the lights, the crowd. And once they didn't have a crowd, they threw him over to NXT where... A, you're not really expecting the big crowds. B, you had a small crowd at least doing the interaction with him. And then once we get fans back in the arena, they bring him back so the crowd can get back into his fucking entrance.
Right.
I don't know if this was the plan. I don't know if this was the thought. I don't know if WWE thought that far ahead. But it was smart. What they did with him, they kept him on a show that even the small crowd reaction was just enough that it didn't matter on NXT because it's kind of a developmental brand. And then once the crowd is back and able to do the whole, you know, entrance thing with him, there he goes. He's right back there with the crowd and they're doing it like he never left. So it's kind of a theory, I guess you could say. I'm thinking, but that's just kind of, again, I don't know if that was their, you know, goal, but if it was, it was brilliant. If it wasn't, they stumbled upon something that was a great idea.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't personally believe that was their idea for him because, like, they debuted him and like they got so little fan response to it, but like I don't know, like I feel like debuting him with NXT is the right way to do that because like they don't have a lot of good faith built on him for that, so I don't know, I feel like that's the best way to do that for him.
Okay, let's see. I say you're slurring by 11:20, so I'm giving you another 15 minutes. Okay. and I'm fine with it.
I mean,
I'm good.
Slurring right now, but like,
no, you're not. No,
best. Like I don't. I mean, for real though. Like I don't think. Like they went on public to acknowledge the fact that they don't view NXT as like a complimentary brand for them.
Right.
They view them as being their developmental product. And I think that by the way that they're doing that, that like Killian Cross or anybody else that they're debuting from NXT to their main roster, they're not giving them proper relevance.
No, but again, if that was their thought with Balor, that's great. If they didn't think that, they stumbled upon something that was a very good move on their part. And I don't know. I might be looking too deep into it, but let's move on a little bit here. Baron Corbin comes out. He's looking rough. I love it.
I feel bad for him.
I don't, because he has an even thicker stain on his shirt this week. It was even thicker. Is no one noticing the stains on this guy's shirt? No one is mentioning the stains on this guy's shirt. I feel like Don Tony. No one's talking about this. Not a person's talking about this.
Don Tony too. Because I wish the guy from Nightmare Radio would fucking bash me endlessly.
No one's talking about the stain on this guy's shirt. Just me. Just me. No one's fucking talking about it. Anyway, I can repeat myself. Anyway, and now Smarky's been a victim of identity theft. I don't feel bad for the guy. I don't. I don't feel bad.
Been pretending to be Don Tony.
I don't even care anymore. But I don't feel bad for Baron Corbin. I don't.
No. I feel a little bit bad for him because, like, what has he done? Like, what has he done that has made him such a heel? Where, like, the feud that he got in with Nakamura was based on him stealing his crown. Mm-hmm. And, like, the feud that he had gotten based on the fact that he was in a feud with Nakamura had really not gotten that much farther than the fact that he's stolen his crown. So, like, what has he done that has made him such a bad guy?
He sucks.
Well, he does suck.
I don't know where else to go. I got nowhere else.
Sasha Baron Corbin, but like, yeah, he does suck. But like, a lot of people on their roster sucks. So like, what has he done that has been so bad that he has gotten stuck with this?
I didn't realize when you got drunk, you felt this empathy for Baron Corbin, but
I feel a certain empathy for him, yeah. He really hasn't done that bad, but like he's gotten stuck with this shitty gimmick.
Alright, I'm just gonna move on because I feel no sympathy for this fucking dick with arms.
Well, there you go. I tried Sasha Baron Corbin in the chat. I tried to talk about Baron Corbin, but like Box doesn't want to, and I don't want to either.
No, so, I want to. Let's do it. No, I want to move on to Big E. Big E came out, and that was a great pop for Big E. I loved it. He got a great moment before they just paraded out all the Money in the Bank entrance to fuck up the whole thing. So I really got nothing else on that. Now, this is what I have something on, Smark. We were talking, I believe last week, we talked about Rolling Loud and what they were going to do there. We didn't know. And it was no one knew, as a matter of fact. It was kind of up in the air what they were going to do. They decided to show a couple matches from Rolling Loud tonight. We had Wale bring out the Street Profits. And listen, this might have been really cool for us fans to watch, but on TV, but the live fans are just watching a giant television like they're at a movie theater while this is happening. It was great. Street Profits came out. They went against Alpha Academy. They had a good match. And then Bianca Belair came out for Carmella. But really, those people are just sitting there watching television like they could have been at home watching television for a couple of matches. WWE had a little problem over there at Rolling Loud. This article was yesterday. Actually, it was today, and this was earlier in the day. They had a few issues with basically the whole ring and everything around it collapsed today. Got a few little news articles we can play. Here we go. Let me pop this one up.
And more developing news tonight. Chopper 4 flying high over Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens. You're looking at a video wall that's part of the Rolling Loud stage. It collapsed today. The festival is scheduled to begin tomorrow. The Rolling Loud organizers say nobody was hurt and they will be ready to begin the festival on time.
So there you go. The whole stage had collapsed where the ring was a part of. And somehow they got it back up and ready for today. Again, really, it was a cool thing for them to do. I got to tell you, with that being a rap concert, that would have been, would that not have been the place to bring out Sasha Banks, kind of?
Yeah, kind of.
I'm just saying. I'm not don't go where you're going, anyone. But no one. I'm just saying. I know. I'm just saying that would have been a good place to bring her back, but maybe she's not ready to come back. So, but you know, it was. I do find it a little weird. They had Street Profits there, and then they decided to bring out Bianca Belair, which is Montez Ford's wife, and Carmella. Weird, but Bianca Belair and Carmella actually had a good match again. I've got to give it to them. But there you go. Luckily, they got the stage put back up. But I mean, if you go and you can look at the, you can go on YouTube and check that out. And there you go, right there. Edge came out to another great pop. Crowd's loving Edge back, man. Loving Edge back. And they are building to him versus Seth Rollins, which I got to say, between the interaction they had at Money in the Bank, the interaction they had tonight, I am looking forward to more promos from these guys. They're kind of the same characters, Mark.
Yeah.
They're both kind of that opportunist, that ultimate opportunist. They they'll steal when they have to, they'll lie when they have to. They're the same but different. And I think that's going to be a really good dynamic between these guys. And I think we're about to get some really good promos from both Edge and obviously Rollins. But I'm really looking forward to this little feud they got going here.
Yeah, I am too. Like, I look forward to that feud. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get some good matches from that. So
yeah, good matches, good promos, a lot of good stuff coming up. So I'm looking forward to all that right there. Toni Storm made her SmackDown debut tonight against Zelina Vega.
She's so thick.
She's so yummy looking. And my wife was out there, and I'm like, babe, she's hot. She reminds me of you. She's like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, she reminds me of you. She goes, oh, okay, I can see that. I got myself out of it. But Toni Storm being on SmackDown is going to be a big help for that women's division because they were really, really low on women in that division. And
they really were. Mm-hmm. And like Christopher Rollins, I like Seth Rollins' suits.
Oh, yeah. Always like the suits he wears. I wouldn't wear all of them, but I like most of them. Right. I guess we can go ahead and get to this last match, and then I think we'll have time to do this little YouTube video I talked about with you, Smart. That'll be a little bit of fun. Yes, we do. This little college humor video where we can decide... cocktail drink or wrestling move. Perfect time to do this is tonight. So first thing we're going to get into, though, is this last match real quick. It was Dominic versus Jimmy Uso in his new half-red hair. Jay was down there. I got to be honest. I thought Jimmy Uso was Jeff Hardy for a second. I was like, what the fuck? Oh, okay. Just, I don't know why they decided to dye their hair. I guess that's something for... maybe part of the Stockholm Syndrome. I don't know. Jimmy did win the match with the help of Jay, of course. And then Roman comes down. And he was probably angering every alpha male out there with the man bun he had, which was very, very tight. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. Very tight man bun. And again, he said Cena coming back, cut the same old promo, and... not sure I disagreed with the word he was saying, Smart. I kind of was like, you're kind of right there, Reigns.
Right. Yeah, I agreed with that, too.
I did like the... I love the line. It's like missionary every night. Missionary position every night. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then he says, noticing his challenge, Balor comes out. Which, I got to admit, I was like, what the fuck are they doing? And said, "Hey, if you're not interested in Cena's challenge, maybe you'll be interested in my challenge." And the crowd started chanting "Roman scared," which I thought was pretty funny. And then Roman accepts. So looks like we're looking at they really switched this up. Balor versus. Which, let's face it, they could do this on a SmackDown next week and Cena could still get involved in this match, which you know it's going to happen, and they're still going to do the match we want. But not that we want, the match they planned. Let's be honest here. So, I don't know. SmackDown was a good show tonight. Again, just having the fans back is making these shows a little bit better. Not extremely better, but definitely given a much better vibe to the shows. Just having a real crowd back instead of a bunch of fucking screens sitting there doing what they're told.
Yeah.
So, definitely, you know, just the fans being back is definitely a plus to all these shows, Smart.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
So, SmackDown wasn't horrible, but not wonderful, we'll put it that way. And that's what I've got on there. Now, this is a little video we'll go ahead and do. We'll wrap up with this real quick. This is College Humor. I'm sure you guys have all heard of College Humor. They had a little video that old Weebs here decided to post on Wrestling Umbrella. And I thought this would be kind of fun to just play. I don't know. It may be, it may not be. It's only 4 minutes long. So let's go ahead and start it here. This guy is amped up. I don't know who this guy is, but he's fucking hilarious. So let's start this out, and we'll see what we can do with this. Oh, volume would help. Oh, nope, unmuting would help. Hold on here, everybody. Let me pause. Let me go back. Unmute the website first, and then we can go back and hit play.
Welcome, everyone, to Cocktail vs. Wrestling Move. Our contestants will be given two very similar options. If they choose correctly and choose the cocktail, they'll be rewarded with a delicious mixed drink. If they choose incorrectly and choose the wrestling move, they'll have said move performed on them by this very scary man. Are you confused? You should be.
Okay, I'm not sure who the very scary man is, but he looks like Braun Strowman didn't go to the gym for about 2 years. I'll put it that way. Yeah. There you go. All right. This guy is like super hype. I almost want to see this guy as a manager, by the way.
Right.
Here we go.
Let's get started!
Our first contestant is Emily Axford. Yeah. Hey, Emily. Uh-huh. This drink before you, is that a Samoan spike or an African lullaby?
Oh, shit, I don't know either.
I think this move is pretty dangerous, whichever one it is.
You're really gonna send your fiance to get a dangerous move done on her by that man? I'm gonna say.
Okay, he brings his fiance up first. Interesting, and obviously the Samoan spike or the African lullaby. We'll see what she goes with. What do you think she goes with, Smark?
That made me laugh more than anything in the world because, like, she was so cowardly about how she did her stuff. Which is like, do I want a Samoan spike or do I want an African lullaby?
Well, let's see what she wants.
It is a Samoan spike.
That is.
Okay, and this guy choke slams her. He doesn't really give her the Samoan spike. He chokes him onto a giant mat. I mean, a giant, like, let's see, that's probably a good 12-inch mat right there. So, all right, let's keep going here.
Is this delicious drink an A-bomb or an atom smasher?
Can I phone a friend?
This is actually a tough one. This is actually a tough one. They both could be drinks, an A-bomb or an atom smasher.
Right.
But, I mean, wrestling fans know. But here we go.
We can phone the hospital if he feels it.
But atom smasher, I don't know, I feel like is almost too obviously like a wrestling move name, so that's what I think the drink is going to be called, so atom smasher.
That is wrong!
All right. Guy gave a good A-bomb to him, I gotta say. It was not bad at all. Not bad. All right, here we go.
Okay, Sam, is this a catatonic or a paralyzer?
Oh, both.
Again, could both be a drink, Smark? Mm-hmm. Could both be a drink? Catatonic or paralyzer? What's he going to say, Smark?
I'm going to say paralyzer.
You're going to go with paralyzer. All right, let's see what happens.
Sound equally delicious and dangerous. I'll go ahead and take that paralyzer right there.
That is correct.
Oh, oh he got it.
You're pushing your luck.
This wasn't really real until now.
He actually got in the big guy's face, and the guy was like, seriously? All right, here we go.
Is this an Alabama slammer or an Alabama slam?
Oh, shit. Alabama slammer or Alabama slam? Ooh, two letters make the difference in this guy's future, Smark. What is going to happen? What do you think? Is he going to add the ER or is he going to fucking not?
I'm going to say no.
Okay, let's see. Does he know?
So the wrestler who came up with the move is presumably from Alabama. That information doesn't help me. I'm going to say Alabama slammer
is the drink.
Yeah.
You got it.
He's right. He's right.
Oh, sweet relief. I don't care.
Which I believe an Alabama slammer is just tequila and 7-Up.
Right.
I believe. And you're supposed to actually slam it and it fizzes. But anyway, well, let's keep going here.
Sam, is this...
Oh my God, is this guy the like, most hipster of hipsters that he's got up there? Tight jeans, glasses, beard. Wow. Okay.
A muscle buster or a cyclone attack? Fuck you.
Muscle buster or a cyclone attack? Now, smart drink. The drink is blue. So.
Well, I think the fact that the drink is blue is going to lead them to getting a muscle buster.
All right. Let's see what he says.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to say that this is a cyclone attack.
He's right.
You're correct.
Oh. Oh. He gets
but
the drink.
Since Sam showed up late, he gets a bonus round.
Yeah.
You know the answer to this
you
one.
Just make you up know the rules as you go
I
absolutely
guess he showed up late. We're getting a bonus with little Sam here in his hipster glasses and shirt and pants.
Holy Ken, this is my game. You would know the answer to this if you had respect for your employees and you showed up at the same time.
So these guys already know.
Yes, yeah. Everyone knows.
Okay.
Which one is the drink? The F-104 or the F-5?
Oh, F-104. Or F5, we know, Smark, it is the F5, that is the wrestling move, but does he know which one is the move and which one is the drink, yes or no?
I don't think he knows, because like I've seen a lot of mentions in the chat that Sam is shouting us out, so I'm going to go with no.
All right, here we go.
Those are so similar.
They both have F in them. And numbers.
F5 is the drink.
Oh!
That is wrong!
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit, let's see what he does. Ooh!
It's over!
An F5 into a pin, Smark. A pin, right. It's over, the round is over. That was...
I mean, more than anything, I'm like, kind of felt like I left down Sam, because she's sending me a message in the chat that's like, I'm big time Sam. That's how you know me, motherfucker. And like, I'm sorry that I let you down.
It's okay. It's okay, Smart. But, all right, I guess we can wrap up on that. I thought it would be a little bit of fun to kind of just pop that up and go through it a little bit. And it was. It was fun. I had fun. But we should probably get out of here before Smark does start actually slurring more than he is now. So let me go ahead and hit the music, and we will go ahead and roll on out of here, and I'll get the show put up in the morning. Here we go. Let me get this music playing right here. And once again, we're going to knock out plugs. I'm really curious to see how Smark is going to do here. And of course, we've got the High Marks. Definitely, you guys want to be listening to them. That's right. It's Cheese Man. It's Mojo. It's G-Wiz. They are on Mixer.com/Metal Mitt Network. That's right. Double up your T's when you're typing that in. Mixer.com/Metal Mitt Network. Type that in. 8:30 p.m. Eastern times on Sundays, and you will be a happy, happy person. Of course, you got Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blades. They are the Inhumans, rolling it out on the Inhuman Experience. Subscribe to that. Check it out. They will be giving you new episodes before you know it. But before you do that, binge listen to that shit. You know you want to. I know you want to. We all know you want to. So just fucking do it already. Find them on all the usual podcast platforms. And of course, while you're on those usual podcast platforms, you want to be checking out everything on Scripted Wrestling Podcast. Eric, Doug, and Daniel over there, check them out. And of course, if you can find them on Blog Talk Radio also. And of course, Stephen Milan over there reviewing films. Letterboxd.com/Stephen Milan. There's two L's in Milan. Definitely go over there and check him out. And you can always find us on Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, Anchor, YouTube, Player FM, TuneIn, Sparkle.
All right, Mondays 8:30 on Metal Mitt Podcast Network on the Mixler Machine. Be sure to check out Cheese on Sports, Cheese Man, Cheese Master. And Sundays 8:30 a.m. on the Metal Mitt Podcast Network. Be sure to check out Mixler, Mojo on Sports.
Be sure to check out Mojo on Sports and Cheese Man, and of course, Planet.
3 a.m. on the Metal Mitt Podcast Network. Be sure to check out Mojo on Sports.
Record. I can't even say Rock on Tour, but they're good guys. Check them out.
To the death of me. Like, I know that we talk about, like, Bobby Anthem is the biggest fan of me, but Planet Record.
All right, folks, I hope you guys had a great time. I actually had a really fucking good time tonight. Smark, thank you for staying relatively sober. I actually sobered up. I sobered up during the show. I was drinking fucking liquid IV and water, and my wife never came in with a shot.
Derek, shout out to Sensible Sam for, like, staying with us. I love you, Sam.
Definitely. Thank you guys for hanging with us. We definitely appreciate it. Downloaders, you guys are awesome too. Definitely, definitely appreciate anyone in any way you support this show. And on that note, I want y'all to have a great weekend. We will be right back here Wednesday night with show number one of the week.
Hey, yes.